Aviation Quest is C101, wind 270 degrees, 10 knots, runway 27 left, cleared for takeoff.
Aviation Quest CC101, cleared for takeoff, 27 left. V1, rotate. Positive climb.
Aviation Quest CC. Stories from above. The views shared in this podcast are personal and for informational purposes only. They do not reflect any employer or aviation authority, and nothing discussed here should be considered flight training or regulatory guidance. Please always refer to official sources. This episode may also contain product placements. For further information, visit our website aviation-quest.ca.
Hello and welcome. This is episode 33. My name is Stefan Lawrence. I'm one of your hosts today. Welcome to all of you to the podcast. As always, I'm not on my own. With me here in the studio, in the virtual studio, because we're never really in the same country, our beloved co-host and proper professional podcaster, Jürgen.
Yeah, thank you. And what was this? I think something around 760 nautical miles apart from each other or something. Yeah, I hope you're already enjoying summer on your Mediterranean island. But summer is also moving in here as we record this intro and outro. But yeah, today's episode, this is why you just welcomed the listeners, is a very special one, because there was an email in my inbox. By the way, to make this straight here, because there were questions concerning the communication with us. So there is the LinkedIn channel, account of mine. It's my real name, Jürgen Reis. And there is the aviation@aviation-quest.cc email address, which you can, by the way, also just find on the homepage. And both channels or inboxes or whatever you call it, communication channels, the messages, they get to me. And if they are podcast concerned, like the email we get from today's guest, so they often start with, "Hi, Stefan and Jürgen, and I want to have an interview with you, or I want to be on the podcast," then I will share them with Stefan. Otherwise, they stay private. So what I want to say with this, if you have questions, maybe when it comes to a coaching, or address a question to me, yes, you can write directly to me and I will share them with Stefan if they are podcast related. Otherwise, they stay confidential. And Stefan, I mean, if people want to reach directly out to you, I was just thinking, allow me the shameless plug, but they can go to your FS Clips YouTube channel, and don't forget to hit some like and subscribe and leave a comment there.
Wow, you're becoming a YouTuber, Jürgen. Yes. So as Jürgen said, I'm not just on the podcast. I have a YouTube channel called FS Clips. It's quite a large channel by now. And you can just leave a comment in one of the videos, and I will get in touch with you. I guess that's the easiest. I mean, I'm also on LinkedIn, but I'm not as active as Jürgen is. I will drop in once in a while. You can obviously contact me there as well, but it might take a few days before you get a reply. But that's, Jürgen is really the main point of contact. He's on top of the game here. If you write to him, you will have a reply very quickly, whilst sometimes I have to fly for a few days and get quite tired, and so I would recommend to contact Jürgen first.
I never had LinkedIn really on my primary radar throughout the last years until we started Aviation Quest, you see, Stefan, and suddenly I discovered what a huge and great community there is, and I just say thank you. LinkedIn aviation community, you are great. They are almost daily in the moment, are really great feedbacks coming in. Or just yesterday, two or three guests, future guests, wrote in with interviews. And it's really a really, really great experience to have LinkedIn now, so to say. And I also made up my profile completely new. I set it up to my coaching profession, my aviation coaching profession. And as I said, this is, so to say, I think also for many of you, the most comfortable way to get in touch with us, or with me, as I said, with me. It's Jürgen Reiss, and you will find all the addresses I just listed out, the email address, the LinkedIn contact, but also Stefan's Discord server at the end of the teaser. So just scroll down, go to the teaser of the podcast, scroll down, and you find all the direct links there, but also on the home. And I mean, my account on LinkedIn is quite easy to find. And obviously, I normally accept every connection. How is it called? If somebody wants to connect with me, and I see, especially if somebody's from aviation, that happens in the moment, it's sometimes more than once a day. Certainly I accept it. And the next thing is we also have, so Stefan got his, also everything, one point after the other here. Stefan got his huge YouTube channel, FS Clips, but we are an audio podcast, but also Stefan, thank you for your work. He made his YouTube experience, so to say, of use for our project. He set up a Aviation-Quest podcast channel on LinkedIn, on YouTube. And there is also today, I think, a real-world flight going on, Stefan. Is this correct?
Yes. Whenever you listen to our podcasts on YouTube, we wanted you to see something so it's not so boring. So I always record a nice flight for you to look at. And today we're doing something really cool. I really hope I'm saying this correct right now. This is a name I'm not familiar with. So we are flying from Stavanger to Amsterdam. Now, usually this flight is operated by KLM with a 737, but Jürgen and I, there's a joke about the 737 and me, so I chose the Boeing 777-300 to make it a bit more exciting. I know it doesn't usually fly that route, but I thought, let's take a nice big aircraft. At least the airline is right, and it looks much nicer. And maybe one day in the future, you will see 737s on our YouTube channel, but for the time being, not the case.
By the way, our Aviation Quest YouTube channel is quite straightforward to find. Just go on our homepage. That's obviously aviation-quest.cc. And there is Spotify, Apple Podcast, and the YouTube podcast. This direct link or this button leads you directly to the YouTube channel. And then we are at Amazon Podcast, Podcast Addict, and Podigy. And I think we covered this. And now to today's episode. Yeah, in today's episode, I had the honor to speak to Adrian Rocco Hinkelmann, a 16-year-old glider pilot from Germany who is already building real flying experience step by step, from cross-country soaring to advanced flight simulation. I think this sums it up. Yeah, pretty, at least it gives a little bit of an insight. It's a quite a versatile aviation, so to say, background this young man is already living. Would you agree, Stefan?
Yeah, exactly. So just to give a quick background, we usually have very, very experienced people here on the podcast, captains, trainers, people that have done amazing stuff. This podcast is for everyone. And so when Adrian contacted us, we thought, why not? This is a person that is on the completely different end of his career. He's just doing his glider license. He wants to go into the airlines. And so we wanted to hear from him how he prepares for his future, what he does, what he studies, all that stuff. So maybe of interest to some other people out there that are thinking of getting into the industry or into the cockpit, to see how someone else is trying to fulfill that dream.
Yeah, and I'd say, Stefan, without any further ado, should we start into the interview?
Absolutely. So, yeah, without further ado, let's get started with the interview and we'll hear you on the other side.
Adrian, welcome to Aviation Quest CC. Great to have you with us. you are certainly the youngest guest so far, and I really respect you jumping into an aviation podcast in English. Great. Welcome on the show.
Hello, Jürgen. I'm very great to be here, and yeah, I'm really looking forward to doing this now.
Yeah, I mean, we are recording this with Easter 2026, just a few days ahead, Adrian. Yeah, I mean, especially listeners in the DACH region will maybe remember these days. The winter had a strange comeback. Let's say in the current moment, what are you doing? I have just Stuttgart weather on my screen. It's Stuttgart Airport, 8 degrees. So I guess it's a good day to have a podcast and a flight sim session. No, joke beside. Give us your current situation.
So, yeah, I'm flying in my Easter flying holidays, you could say, with my glider. I'm doing my SPL license, and I've done on Sunday my first cross-country training with a flight instructor, and it was like the first time when I flew in a glider out of the traffic pattern, or like in the 5 kilometer radius I usually fly around our airfield. And it was really exciting to see, you know, the Black Forest in Germany, in South Germany. It was really cool. And yeah, we flew until Freudenstadt. That's like at the edge of the Black Forest. And when we actually came there over the city, could I see actually snow on the trees there on the forest. It was actually kind of confusing because it was, yeah, always a bit the summer mood there, and then I see suddenly snow on the trees down there under me. It was really.
I can imagine it was literally cold. So to get you right, even in this crazy weather conditions, you picked out every possible day, because they were not too many, I think, the last 10 days or so, to get up in the air with the glider.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Well, it was actually great weather there. We had nice cumulus clouds, but the cloud base was, you know, a bit lower at the start of the day, but it actually got higher, which made us could fly higher then. It actually seemed like a summer day, except the temperature. The temperature were like 5 degrees, yeah, or something.
Yeah.
But the atmosphere was like warm, and I don't know, it was weird. It was like an illusion, kinda. It was funny.
Yeah. But since then, I mean, what you're doing now in the next days, I mean, you use every possible weather window which allows gliding and the rest, simulating ground school?
Well, almost. I don't fly sadly every day when I want to, because I don't have my license yet. I'm a student pilot yet. I would maybe need to organize some things, like people on the ground to get me up in the air and a flight instructor, so it's a bit likely unnecessary, you could say, as a student pilot. But in my club, it's actually like so that when you get a license, that you actually can call somebody, you know, who has a license for towing planes.
Yeah.
And you actually then at least need another guy who holds your wing at the start of the takeoff or something, so your wing doesn't get in contact with the ground right at the starting phase of the towing plane towing you up in the air. Yeah, you could do that with a license. You just, you know, need to communicate this with some people, but the really Easter flying is actually starting this Friday now.
Okay.
And in that time, do I actually study for my for the AT? Oh, how do you was heißt Sprechfunkzeugnis?
The radio telephony you wrote me down. I think you're still working on this, aren't you? The radio communication.
Yeah, the radio telephony. Yeah. Radio communication.
Yeah.
I'm doing the version of the first version.
Okay.
That's like for German and English.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm. I had a like course. There in my club too, there was a guy in my club who acted like a teacher, and he was playing the controller like at some airports, and then we did a flight from A to B. Yeah, it started from getting your taxi clearance to take off and etc. And we did it so that you could start with German on the frequency.
Yeah.
You could call it. And then you had to approach the destination airport in English or in the other radio. That was actually kind of fun too. But what actually kind of surprised me is that it was at the beginning a bit more difficult than I thought, because, you know, I'm flight simming now really like for the last 3 or 4 years now. And I'm flying on WattSim like now for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
But you know, I thought that I would do better at the beginning because of my WattSim experience. But it, you know, you have to understand on WattSim you mostly fly IFR, or the most people do at least.
Yeah.
And like the radio telephony communication thing. It's VFR only. It was the only weird thing. It was not as always.
Yeah, I mean, real world and simulation, there are often some differences, speaking of experience. But yeah, I mean, knock on wood here, by the time this podcast goes online, you will have earned your sailplane pilot license. And yeah, what changes after you have your sailplane pilot license, Adrian? What do you think will happen this year, maybe also the next year, to have already a little bit of glimpse into your aviator future?
Well, so the number thing is maybe that I have less mental things I have to worry about, because I'm likely every day a bit excited because of the thought of having my license in the next 2 months or so. Firstly that, and it reduces like the work I normally have throughout the days. I, you know, every day I look that I have done at least something for my license. And yeah, and then I can focus more in school because I'm finishing school in 2 years or so, and my grades are okay, acceptable, but yeah, I'm actually okay with it. But I want to improve them a little bit more, and that's actually maybe a bit important for my final exams, you know. And yeah, firstly that, and I will continue flying gliders much more now, as I then have access to other gliders which have much more performance than the gliders I have flown. Or our students' pilots flow in our club. So I could even discover you know, South Germany and all that. And it's a nice thought of, it's really a nice thought of flying out a bit more, or to summer with a bit more distant. Yeah.
Certainly focusing on the school sounds more than necessary because, yeah, you're aiming for the airlines and still, I mean, school is, so to say, the foundation to be good in school. I think also, especially when you're looking maybe towards a scholarship program or something, I mean, this is, hey, go for it. Give your best.
Yeah, well, I have, coming to that, I have actually research a bit in, around the internet, and it the most say it's not that important to have a perfect to have the very perfect grades in aviation world when you want to come to the airlines. It's a good thing to have perfect grades when you want to come to airlines, especially for the big ones like Lufthansa or, yeah, Emirates or, I don't know, yeah. But I think I don't want to, like, crush my head because only of school. I want to continue flying, simulator, and to enjoy my life because, and I'm saying that because the last years that I had a different mindset. I used to study very much for some exams,
yeah,
but still got surprisingly bad grades, which kind of gave me the motivation. It got the steeled my motivation, or yeah. And I can remember the days when I studied in the summer in my room, and then I looked out of my window and, I don't know, saw some families out there having fun or something, and it was kind of painful to watch sometimes. And
I know.
Yeah.
I know exactly why. Because I was in an apprenticeship when I was a glider pilot, and I know it hurts. It hurts. When you have the perfect day, but also some pretty important project. And but everything at its time. And I'd say we leave it like this. You do best as you can in school, but also certainly, yeah, you go on with flying. I'd say we'd leave it like this. And yeah, if you allow, Adrian, take us back to your early beginnings, because, I mean, with the lines you have written to me, it seems to me that you are almost a born pilot. At least, yeah, I mean, this A320 cockpit, the plane Stefan, or the airplane Stefan, is flying for a living, certainly. I think it was a game changer from early on.
So what's your question again?
You were visiting as a kid. You had the honor to visit an A320 cockpit, so an Airbus cockpit.
Ah, yeah.
Already.
Okay, now I get it. Sorry.
The beginning of of an aviation love story.
Oh yeah, I can remember. So back then when I was 6 years old, I remember flying to Croatia for the holidays. And I can remember it was with Germanwings. And then arriving there on the parking stand, I can remember it was Osijek Airport. Sadly, there isn't as much airliners flying there, I think, today.
Yeah.
As back then. And I can remember while leaving the airplane, I was looking at the cockpit, but I was kind of nervous or had a fear, like my heart was kind of beating fast, and then right when I wanted to leave the plane, the stewardess offered me to visit the flight deck, And then I said, yes, okay. And I can remember the captain was, I think, out and maybe checking the airplane or something, but he wasn't in the cockpit. There was only the first officer there, looking for the MCDU or the flight plan or for some clearances, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then I got into the captain seat.
Wow. So you're a 6-year-old captain. This is great.
Yeah. And I remember the first officer, he actually offered me to push some buttons. And my mother filmed me, had made a video all about it. And I pushed like the red button on the side stick, and then it said the GPW just called out the priority left, and I pressed something.
You were the captain. You were the captain.
Yeah, I were the captain, and I remember, I think maybe pushed a button something else, but I don't remember now, and I only realized like a year ago when I was rewatching this video what this GPS callout actually was, and it was kind of a cool experience, like watching this very, very old video of me and then finally understanding what this now made, this button, this red button on the side, like that's the autopilot disconnect button. Yeah.
But I mean, the airplane was safely parked, if I get you right. So it was a...
Yeah.
certainly. If somebody listening in now is like, oh, what was going on there? No, you were already... So
yeah.
The airplane was certainly shut down.
Yeah, yeah. And
but on it was secure. Certainly everything was secure going on here.
Yeah, but yeah. And
the next thing, I mean, from then on, you had the aviation bug, I guess.
Yeah, right. And that was like the spark, which now changed my life. Yeah. That was like the moment when I felt like, man, there are people who live from A to B to wonderful places for their living. Like, and I couldn't like get that. And yeah, and that was the moment when I wanted to become a pilot, and yeah.
The next big step, I think, was this. What was this? You got a birthday present. This is a birthday present with 12 to get into a 777 simulator. Tell us the story.
Oh yeah, that was a big one either, and it actually played a role like a year ago when I was 15 too. So yeah, beginning with that, my mother gave me a gift. To fly in a simulator of a Boeing 777. And it was fascinating. It was my really first time when I knew that flight simulation is existing or something. Or I think I knew back then that there's flight simulation, but only like, I don't know,
but was this apps. A full motion? Was this a full motion simulator like the airlines use it all?
Give us sadly not. But back then I thought I knew only the simulators you could like play on your phone or something. But I have never thought of like the hardware, even that I have nowadays from Wing Control or WinWing.
Yeah.
So yeah, the flight was wonderful. And it was absolutely magical when I first got to push all the knobs on the autopilot.
But it was in a sort of kind of a, it was in a mock-up. So there was a company, simulator company or something like that.
I can answer that question later. And where was I? Yeah, I remembered the autopilot thing was my favorite section of the flight, kinda, because that was kinda the part that you think about the most or a bit or handle about the most. That's what I had. But I actually got to hand fly a bit too for the first time, really. And the first officer or the guy who hosted this helped me a bit, but it was okay. And yeah, it was actually a really great experience. And now I think 3 years later or so, did I do another flight, this time with my wallet and with my savings. And it was really actually very cool there again, coming back there. And I have made a friend. I got friend with the host there, and I remembered it was a woman too, and she explained me really much about becoming an airline pilot and so on. And that was the first time when I understood what it takes from the licenses to be a pilot, and it was really, really interesting. And yeah, months later after this, had I liked the thought, a random thought in the summer holidays when I was at the beach in Croatia, I remember, I was like thinking about what could I do maybe after the summer holidays, or what could I do with my, yeah, with my life, my everyday, with my weekend, or yeah, etc. And then came the idea, if I could maybe do a mini job at the flight simulator, at the Boeing 777 flight simulator. And that was a brilliant idea, actually. Yeah, I contacted the chief. He managed everything. He said, yeah, okay. He said, yeah, I'm visiting the simulator with someone who's hosting it, and he will observe how I handle some customers, mm-hmm. Like introduce the flight simulator, the airplane, explain a few things. And I actually did very great. But the problem was that the flight simulator later got bankrupt, or not bankrupt, but yeah, so you have to see it like this. So our simulator was
simulator company went out of business.
That actually not really, but okay. Feder, how do you say that again?
What do you want to say?
Like, we had a service to pay so that simulator could be there.
Okay.
And the owner of it, so it wasn't like our place there where the yeah. simulator was.
Okay.
And the owner sadly kicked us out there. And that was actually really, really, really sad, because the moment when I like, got the news from that I actually scrolled through the internet looking for some other places where we maybe could move the simulator and go on, but my chief said he doesn't have the motivation now to do this all. Yeah, but I can maybe understand this a bit, but maybe not really at the same time, because the owner of the simulator, my chief back then, is actually a pilot too. He flew, lots of different aircraft, 747, 777, all that. Yeah, and it was a bit sad for me, because I had actually then almost found a place, but yeah. But it was a great time, even when it was like a short window that I surfed here.
Yeah.
I could fly the simulator to places where I went in short breaks when we were waiting for the guests.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was actually a really nice time. And I remember then, like, this time around that I bought the PMDG 777, which was then actually cool too. And then I could study a bit more the detail that was actually in this aircraft. Yeah.
But yeah, let's take the next chapter. Let's get into the next chapter. You also wrote me you are an active flight simmer. You know, you already mentioned it with FATSIM, etc. And also a passionate plane spotter. So you got a passion for plane spotting, I guess, in Stuttgart International Airport?
Yeah, mostly. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, what about the flight simming? Tell us about this side of your aviation career, because you are quite versatile. I mean, plane spotting, flight simming, and glider with 16. I mean, wow. Yeah, take us a little bit into the other categories of your aviation passion.
Yeah. So, 1 year ago when... No, 1 year before I was signing up for the Boeing 777 simulator to work with, did I really start my flight sim passion. I started WATSIM, and I had from Thrustmaster the Airbus Captain Pack. It's like with the side stick, and you actually can change the side stick, so you can choose between if you want to fly with the side stick in captain configuration or with the first officer's configuration. That was cool. And you got like a throttle quadrant, which was also very cool. You got actually the ignition starter mode and the landing gear button and some other things you could do. There were even flaps and air brakes there. It was the best thing you could get for $250 or euros. But it was a really, really nice hardware product I've used for a very long time. And yeah, I've started on Xbox actually. I got an Xbox only for flight simming actually back then.
Okay.
And that was actually kind of fun. I got to study the 737 the first time from the PMDG and the A320. And I can remember Inibuilds then published their A320, the more detailed one. And yeah, it was actually very cool because
we are talking study level aircraft on the PC, certainly.
Yeah, right, exactly. Because on the Xbox, the A320 from Asobo is nothing compared to the Phoenix A320. And the A320 is just below of the Phoenix level, I think. Yeah. Then my father actually gifted me a gaming PC. Out of nowhere, I was very surprised. And the first thing that I did is to install Microsoft Flight Simulator and finally install all the softwares and things you could download on PC but not on Xbox. And yeah, and since then, I started to buy some hardware products, more hardware products like the WinWing MCU for Airbus and the Autopilot FCU and the EFIS. I even then upgraded my joystick, Wing Control 2 or WinWing. Yeah, I'm still a bit confused with the new name of this company. I have the USA Minor stick, and it actually feels more realistically because it actually has a spring there built in, which kind of makes it feel a bit better compared to my older joystick. And then I even got a new throttle quadrant from WinWing 2, and it's a Orient 2 F15 throttle quadrant. It's actually for military based airplanes meant, but there are so many buttons on the thrust levers and on the quadrant itself that I thought, oh, that would be great for DCS too, because I used to play DCS very much too. Yeah. I always flew the F-14 Tomcat. Okay. I love that aircraft. The only problem is that the servers, the multiplayer, just kind of was a bit broken because the enemies mostly had like F-16, F-18s playing against me, which is unfair because they have an either radar, much better radar, or yeah, and they have a much shorter time to fire a missile at me and all that. And yeah, I'm right now not sadly active in DCS, but I knew it was a really great time. Mm. And one thing about flying DCS 2 is that last year I was on the Aero in Friedrichshafen.
Yeah.
And I remember there was like this simulator hangar. And there was an Austrian company that they built chairs that simulate like turbulences or so in the simulator, which is really, really breathtaking.
Sounds immersive, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember there was a line to try out the chair. I could see that you would get a VR headset on your head and a little F-18 cockpit, only with WinWing hardware too. And I could already see, wow, this must be cool in VR. I have never tried VR before back then. And I really wanted to try that out. And I actually made a friend there. We started talking there, and this was like a spark of a really great friendship. We are still friends now, and even today, I've contacted him that I've booked some flights for the ILA in Berlin so that we can go together there. And yeah, and coming back to the Austrian company there, I remember all the people that were in front of me failed at trying to land at this aircraft carrier there. And that was actually the main objective that the people from this Austrian company gave you. And it was actually one of the best feelings, kind of, to be the only one of like you these 20 people there to achieve the landing there.
Great.
It was really cool, and I was actually really proud there, and it was actually a really cool experience to fly VR too, because the VR headset costs like nowadays up to 5,000 euros, which is insane, but the quality was insane too. I even got a bit motion sickness because I was, I don't know, doing some loopings and rolls, and it actually kind of felt too real a bit sometimes. But yeah, together with my get experience there, because I was a student pilot back then too, and I remember that a week before or 2 weeks before the visit in Friedrichshafen that I had actually made my first solo. Yeah, and it was actually a really great experience there. And I'm really looking forward to visiting the ILA in Berlin, and
great. Hey Adrian, give us a short rundown of your passion as a plane spotter, and afterwards I already would say we have to have a second part in summer or know, but yeah, what's the motivating thing about plane spotting? I guess there are many of them.
So the main thing about plane spotting is that I think you have the most peace there. You know, you're just standing there watching big metal tubes that are loud, which fascinates you. And yeah, if you have a great setup, a great camera, you can actually take great pictures. And a big thing is that people that are into that are mentally connected to their photos, because looking back at them kind of takes you back to this time where you maybe used to be a bit different, and now you kind of realize too that you are maybe the person that you actually want to be when you like grow up or something. But yeah, and it's actually just fascinating when especially rare planes come in. Like the rarest thing that I have got on camera was Croatian MiG-21 that is sadly not flying today. Or yeah, the Croatian MiG-21s nowadays generally don't fly nowadays. And I can remember the picture when I took that was in the holidays too. And yeah, but I'm honestly not really active right now on plane spotting because I have like a mid-range camera, you could say. And I'm looking forward to maybe get a new lens, a new camera to get much more sharper pictures. And yeah, and I can actually
maybe an Instagram account or something where you share your pictures, Adrian. Feel free to plug.
Yes, actually on TikTok and a little bit on Instagram. I'm not really active on Instagram, but I used to be very, very active on TikTok.
So where can people find you? Feel free to plug yourself here.
Well, wait, I'm gonna just pull out my phone then. So yeah, I actually have a bit of range. So my name is K6CR Enjoyer, then an underline 99, and yeah, how the name says, the K6CR Enjoyer, because it's the glider that I have the most joy or had the most joy flying with in my career so far. It's a very, very old plane. It's maybe the same age as my grandpa, but it's really, really fun. Yeah. And I've actually now 60,000 likes and 1,745 followers. I also have some footage of my glider flights. And yeah.
Great.
That would be cool for
people can get in touch with you. Aviation enthusiasts can get in touch with you there.
Yeah, sure. And then looking at my account, then you would also see that I'm doing model planes, scale models.
Great.
And this is a hobby for itself too.
You haven't even written me about this. This is, yeah, we will have to have another interview. I think I already make a tentative note for part two with Adrian this summer, if you allow, and we will have to cover some things in details. We just didn't have the time today, and some things I wasn't even informed, like the RC plane thing. I wanna hear about it. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
But there's like one more thing about flying gliders. When being really, really young, and it's the more psychology thing about that. And, you know, it's actually maybe a bit more of a puberty thing too, but yeah, I remember then when I had my first flying season, that sometimes when I didn't fly as good than I expected normally, then I would like kind of maybe get really sad or so. And even like some months ago when I was studying for my theoretical exam, I had sometimes really low hope, but I actually did the theoretical exam really better than I thought than it would be. And it was kind of funny, the day when I passed the test, to know that the night before that I had an emotional crash out because of the meteorology area. There I didn't understand just a really little things, which then made me kind of go crash out for some reason. But yeah, I actually did it now. And for the ones listening and yeah, just thinking about becoming a pilot or being already in that phase, it's very important to know that you will improve with your career. It's just really normal, and I see really really much student pilots who don't accept themselves or who are too hard to themselves for not really for making this way. And one more thing either, I see very much on social media, like people who post that, yeah, it's impossible to become a pilot or something, or pictures. Yeah, I think that isn't true. It is a hard way to come to the airlines, but it isn't impossible, because I see very much in some videos, like a pilot who flies into the sunset, that many people like think, oh, it feels so unreal that I may be sitting in this cockpit like him too, chasing some sunsets or something, and then they automatically think they maybe won't do it, even though they actually don't know what kind of potential they really have. Yeah. And
I'd say you prove that it's possible in a few years from now. Hey, and Adrian, coming to the end of this interview, I want to support you with two things. Number one, I've written a mental training book in German, mm-hmm. and a dedicated example or a dedicated Peak Mastermind book will be sent to you. Just give me your postal address afterwards via email. So
wow.
I want to have a hand-signed issue in your hands. And other than that, I am also coincidentally a mental coach supporting pilots and also aviation mm-hmm. candidates like you with the mental side of performance, especially for interviews, assessment, and situations where the pressure is maybe, yeah, just high or higher. And mm-hmm. I wanna give you, so to say, virtually a voucher for a coaching session with me. Whenever you need me, I am there for you for about the length of this interview, 45 minutes or something. So to give you just, you know, a little bit, yeah, it would be really for me an honoring thing to do, because I admire your, also, as I said, the fact alone that you are on the podcast now. And as I said, whenever you need me, just reach out for me, and certainly we can do this in our marathon in German or in English if you want to be challenged even in a coaching. But yes,
wow.
As I said, this is a little bit two gifts from my side. I thank you for every minute, and I'm already looking forward for a second part with you this summer.
Yeah, and I still have one last thing to say. That's I have forgotten that one point, but yeah, when you're going for training right now or something, it's really important to not give up, because my mother recently asked me. She came to me worried and asked if the airline pilot plan, because she saw an statistic which showed that only 5% of people that participate to becoming a airline pilot actually succeed. And then I calmed her down and said it's just because so low, because many people just stop and don't have the motivation to continue. So it's very important that you don't give up, even when it looks very hard right now. I found myself really in some, embarrassed situations. For example, I one time, more times even threw up by flying gliders, but that didn't stop me from now flying gliders. And I right now on the cross country flight, I have to say that I actually threw up too, but that's just because I had like in the winter three stomach viruses, and I actually had asked ChatGPT if that some has to do with my tolerance, with my motion sickness, and it actually said yes. All the viruses, all the diseases actually now reduced your tolerance against this motion sickness. And then I have found a really cool trick to practice the tolerance at home. You like sit on a chair and spin around yourself with it a few times, and then you start looking to your left, to your right, like you normally would do on a VFR flight maybe. And then like after 20 seconds of spinning, you suddenly stop and focus on one point. And then that's what I'm actually now doing to feel more healthy while flying. And it's actually a very underestimated thing too, I think. Yeah.
Great advice here at the end. And yeah, as I said, Adrian, I'm looking forward maybe for a second interview this summer, if you allow. We'll stay in touch. And you let me know whenever you need the mental coaching. I'll be here for you.
All right. Thank you very much. And thank you for taking part of the podcast. And yeah.
Okay, welcome back. Jürgen, thank you so much for the interview. It was super interesting to hear, you know, like I said, before the podcast or before the interview, the other side of the spectrum, so to say, someone who is just about to tip his toes into the industry and trying to build a career. How was it for you, Jürgen? Did you enjoy the interview? Was it interesting?
Absolutely. And I mean, there was obviously some parallels. I mean, they were also, I think, live on tape. I mean, I was really taken back a little bit when I was 16, even so, sorry, with 16, to be on an English aviation podcast, Stefan, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
What about you?
No, same. But I love the parallels I see between myself and many other people I know and him, because I was exactly the same. I would go to the local airport and take pictures of the aircraft. I would build model aeroplanes. You know, I would spend time on simulators at home. Obviously, when we talked about this when I was young, the simulators were nowhere near where they are today. I would read magazines about aircraft. So I was really a proper nerdy plane nut. And I think a lot of the stuff he talks about tells me he's probably the same. And to me, that's already a first indication that he has the potential to go very far in this industry.
By the way, this podcast is online on June 21st, and this means 2 days later, so on the 23rd afternoon, there will be on my LinkedIn account, I already mentioned in the intro, a nice picture together with the teaser version on the, the LinkedIn version of the teaser, let's put it like this, with Adrian and a glider. Yeah, you can, as I said, if you want to have a picture of Adrian, you will find it on LinkedIn and also on Stefan's Discord server. But as I said, all my respect, and it was great hearing Adrian's perspective on aviation from such an early stage of training. And we certainly wish him success in both aviation and in school. I think, Stefan, you will agree.
Yeah, exactly. And who knows? Maybe one day I will fly with him in the cockpit. That would be amazing. Stranger things have happened. So yeah, I mean, from my side, we've done all the social media stuff already at the beginning, Jürgen. We're getting very good at this now, slowly. I mean, it's after 30 episodes, we're finally understanding how this works. So from my side, thank you for the interview, Jürgen. And thank you for being here today again. And yeah, I look forward to speaking to you soon.
Yeah, just let me add one thing about the LinkedIn work, if you allow. If I am just sorry, I'm today a little bit, I'm putting a lot of effort in this. If you want to reach out for us, the way Adrian did it is also fine per email. But the quickest and most comfortable way is in the moment my normal, under my real name, the LinkedIn account. And every Tuesday afternoon, there's the podcast. And every Thursday afternoon, there is a little bit of an insight from my mental coaching syllabus for aviation professionals, which is, by the way, so to say, an operational manual for the pilots' coachings I am providing. But yeah, that said, I say we are looking forward. Yeah, we are already planning into the summer. Stefan, I have to speak to you a couple of minutes afterwards. Podcast strategically, a lot of things are going on. A lot of things already yesterday happened. I want to tell you, it's really, it's an amazing project. And it, pun intended, it took off.
Very good. I'm curious to hear more. All right. Well, I'm happy to bring it to an end. So, like I said, thank you to everyone for listening. And hopefully you will be back with us next time.
Thank you for listening to Aviation Quest CC, Stories from Above. For more information about this episode and everything we do, visit our homepage aviation-quest.cc. We appreciate your time and support, and we'd love to have you back for the next episode. Until then, stay safe, stay curious, and keep your passion for aviation flying high.